May 31st, 2020, Usual Nilamani class, chapter 9. The different groups of Sakis. We've been reading about their different groups and different activities they engage in. One thing they do is the rival parties, Krishna Radharani's group of Sakis and Chandravali's Sakis, they speak puns. Puns means joking words or words that you say one thing but has an opposite meaning. So here Champakalata is Radharani's Asta Saki. She speaks to a Saki of Chandravali named Bhavya. Oh, my dear Bhavya, your friend Sudamani is decorated with ornaments given to her by Govinda. And Sudamani becomes very unhappy when she's separated from Krishna. And Sudamani is very expert in the arts, and her body displays intense beauty and youthfulness. Her actions contain the highest good conduct, and her good fortune never ends. That's the outside meaning, but it's a pun. The actual real meaning is this. My dear Bhavya, your Sakhi friend Sudamani wears ornaments and jewelry that are displeasing to Govinda. Her absence makes Krishna very happy. This Sakhi of yours is very expert at quarreling, and her complexion is the color of iron. She is the least saintly and virtuous. Her misfortune is eternal and will never end. That's good. Now, there's another example. This is Rangadevi. Rangadevi is Radharani's party, Asasakis, speaking to Shaibya. Shaibya is one of the main Sakis of the rival party of Chandravali. This is more puns, another example of pun, saying one thing but meaning something else. So Rangadevi speaks to Shaibya containing hidden insults directed towards their friend Kailavati. Oh, Shaibya, the dancing of your friend Kailavati is like nectar. Kailavati is so expert that even though she takes many wonderful steps, her necklace and ornaments don't move to and fro, but remain still. Her beautiful complexion eclipses the splendor of golden waves of Haritala. And she brings great festival of happiness to the eyes of all. But the inside, the real intended meaning is this. Here we go. Rangadevi said to Shaibya, "Oh Shaibya, the dancing of your friend Kailavati is not at all like nectar. She stubbornly refuses to follow the charming rhythms of Krishna's music when Krishna claps his hands. And her emotions repudiate the rules of graceful dancing." She's not graceful at all. "She chases away the festival of happiness from the eyes of all." Now introducing a new section here. And this section called the groups. Because of their natural gravity, politeness, and other virtues, The leaders of their groups, means Yukteswaris, Sakhi group leaders, of Sakhis, are not directly jealous of the rival gopis. So they don't personally express hatred of the opposing group in a clear manner, like we just heard. Brinda speaks to Purnamasi. When Mangala Sakhi sees the excessive pride of a rival, she becomes shy and timid. Mangala Sakhi immediately plunges into a swiftly moving mountain stream of shyness, the surface of which shines with the bubbles and foam of a rare and beautiful smile. The gopis of a lower rank are more harsh. They jealously criticize the leaders of the rival gopis behind their backs. Padma, speaking to Champagalata, pretends to glorify Radharani. Oh, my dear, charming Champagalata, you are lucky, for Vrishabhanu Nandini has now come to the nearby shore of the Yamuna and released you from the great shackles of my words. Saraswati, who plays in my words, has become plunged in the ocean of embarrassment by her escape in this way. Interesting. Vipaksha Ramani. Though Sakhi may be prakara, or bold and outspoken, they do not generally speak with hatred in front of the leader of the opposing group. So, in this world, people that don't understand the nature of Krishna's transcendental rasas say that such negative emotions as envy and hatred are always improper in relation to the dear devotees of Krishna. In Braj, however, the mellow Shringarati, transcendental amorous love, is the mellow of transcendental amorous love is a submissive and dear friend of Krishna, who is more charming than a host of Cupids. When Krishna is present, the mellow or the rasa of Shringarati, amorous love, incites the creation of negative emotions of hatred and jealousy between two camps of rival gopis. Why? In order to please Krishna. When Krishna is absent and separated from them, these negative emotions are aroused in order to increase the gopis' love for him. Here's an example. There's long commentaries by Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath. Real long. Try to read some of them. On this point of how hatred and jealousy exist in the spiritual rasas of Shringar Ras, amorous love of Krishna and gopis. Krishna bewilders even Cupid personified, Sakshat Mamata Mamata. Although the great Cupid and the associates of Shringar, amorous love, exist in Braj. Enjoyment with the gopis cannot take place simultaneously, unlike the services of other devotees. Therefore, there is hatred between the sakis. Shringar Ras takes the role of Priyanarma Sakha and Braj, taking into consideration the dearest of sakis. Similarity and differences in the type of love are shown. One should not say that Krishna should not tolerate this. This is done for the satisfaction of Krishna. Enmity or transcendental hatred between groups of sakis nourishes and increases Krishna's attraction for them. Hatred and other emotions appear externally in the gopis, but not internally. Vishnu says, how can someone whose mind is afflicted by lamentation and anger have a realization of Krishna? How can hatred and other negative emotions, which are unfavorable for sadhana bhakti, be favorable for a person to have attained perfection in bhakti? True, the transformations of mind, such as attachment and hatred, in state of sadhana are material and against bhakti, pratikul. However, in the perfected stage, the antakaran, the mind, intelligence, takes the form of prema, and its functions of lamentation, bewilderment, attachment, hatred become forms of prema and do not impede bhakti. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.4.3 says, all the vyavachari bhavas rise and fall like waves in the sweet ocean of the sthayi bhava. Increase the sthayi bhava and become the srupa of the sthayi bhava. Though sanchari bhava is like nirved, which means anxiety, and other sanchari bhavas are qualities of the mind, and they appear like as if they're forms of the material gunas, they're actually beyond the gunas. The sthayi bhava is prema, and the vyavachari bhavas appear as forms of that sthayi bhava. What is the proof that prema is beyond the three gunas, Krishna prema? He quotes a shloka, 11th canto, chapter 3, verse 31. One develops ecstatic symptoms by prema arising from bhakti. Okay, that's maybe it's true. Vishnu says prema is beyond the gunas, tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. But how can the functions of the mind also be beyond the gunas? As soon as bhakti enters the ear, there is no mixing with the antakaran. By repeated practice of bhakti, one rises from an artha nirvritti and to a sakti. After that, mixing takes place. As long as there is no mixing of bhakti with the antakaran, the functions of the mind, such as attachment and hatred, will remain as material anarthas. When sulfur is added to mercury, There is no immediate mixing, but after repeatedly rubbing mess for a long time, they mix. Silver then gives up its original nature and takes a different form. Similarly, the material nature of the Antakaran, the subtle body, mind intelligence, is gradually destroyed and becomes spiritual. Thus, as sulfur and mercury eventually become one substance known as calorium. That means kalu. So bhakti and antakaran become one as prema. The mercury does not combine with other substances. Sulfur transforms by rubbing it to another form. The uncontaminated Krishna, in the form of chanting or other processes, enters the antakaran endowed with attraction through the ears or other senses, rubbing against it by its shakti, makes the antakaran take on a spiritual form. The prema of the sadhana siddhas has been described in this way. What doubt is there about the prema of the nitya siddhas? So now let us return to the text. This is all Vishnu's commentary. So let there be no fault in the sadness for displaying hatred and other negative emotions. But can't Sringaras carry on without such negative emotions? Only one cubit bewilders material world. I've seen the scriptures of Ras written by Bharat Muni concerning Sringaras, amorous love. He describes the breaking of appointments. It's understood that Sringaras is maintained and nourished by material anger, hatred, and other emotions. The Sringaras of Krishna exist in personified form and brush as Ujjala Sringar. That ras offers a vyabhachari bhav, such as malice, to the inimical parties for the pleasure of Krishna. Example from Lita Mata. O beautiful Chandravali, suffering Radha can see how your body has become auspicious from Krishna's many tight embraces. Please bring Radha back to life by embracing her with your thin arms, fragrant from the touch of Krishna's flower earrings. Radha's in separation. Separated from Krishna, who has gone to Mathura, Radharani laments. She sees her reflection on a stone in Govardhan and thinks her reflection is her rival, Chandravali. Radha begins speaking of that reflection in the Govardhan stone, Shila. She says, oh, Chandravali, bring me back to life by your arms, thin because of separation, by wrapping around my neck. Those arms are fragrant with Krishna's ear ornaments, which means flowers, Karikara flowers. After enjoying with you, taking your two arms, he slept on the right and then on the left side. I will also experience happiness by the embrace of your arms, which have had such good fortune. Now the difference between leaders of the groups of sakis, personal friends of the harem, other groups of sakis will be described. The intimate friends of the Nayaka are exactly like her in all respects. The other friends of the Nayaka, the heroine, are a little different from her in some ways. The neutral friends are only slightly like the heroine, whereas the rivals, enemies possess natures radically different from that of the heroine. Because of their different contradictory natures, the rival groups of gopis are not pleased with each other. They become bitter enemies, unable to tolerate each other. I'll give examples of that. Interesting. Discussion here. Rival parties, enemies, friends, enemies. Here's an example of extreme intolerance. Example. Radharani speaks to Brinda. Brinda, Chandravali is prominently neutral, passive, splendid, cool, and dumb. Chandravali's moonlight makes the lotus flowers of intelligence and cleverness close its petals. Chandravali yearns to meet with Krishna. In this pleasant earth, who is able to tolerate the sight of Chandravali? Now Chandravali is speaking to Radha. Hey Radha, give up your name, which is the name of the 16th nakshatra. O abode of contrariness, the peaceful saintly sages are now displeased with you for your lack of humbleness. Even though Krishna, the crown jewel of all who possess good qualities, and the worshipful prince of Braj, offers obeisance to you, falling down at your toes, still, you will not even lift an eyebrow to acknowledge his presence. Chairadi. To the extent that the gopis have similar nature, they are friends. To the extent their natures are different, they are enemies. Birds of a feather flock together. No rival or friend has love of Krishna or any other virtue opulent slightly equal to what Radharani possesses. The leaders of the groups of Sakis all possess similar very exalted nature. Among it is very difficult for anyone to attain a status like them. If because of happy accident, friendship may be established with certain gopis, in the same way, according to their own nature, enmity and rivalry may also be established amongst them. Let's see if there's any commentary on this one. Vishnu's commentary in verse 49. The love of Chandravali is not appealing to Radha. And it was also shown previously, Radha's love is not appealing to Chandravali. Shanjali speaks his harsh language to one of her sakis, who has been speaking about Radha's character on some occasion. Touching the name of Radha directly makes my tongue bitter. Give up speaking of her name immediately, on any occasion, what to speak of speaking of her character. Oh, boat of misfortune, I think you have lost your intelligence, since you bring up topics relating to her suddenly. But you do not hate or criticize anyone in the universe. Your good character is famous for being most compliant and soft. That is true, but it's very difficult to give up criticizing Radha. You're in a peaceful mind of the silent sage, whose nature is not to praise or criticize others' natures or actions, becomes angry at Radha. Therefore, since I am the daughter of a coward with fixed behavior and uncontrolled speech, why should I not become angry and criticize Radha? Who becomes angry at her lack of modesty? To hell with her, to hell with her actions, to hell with you for mentioning Radha. Even when Krishna falls at Radha's feet, she does not react. What woman would make her lover fall at her feet? The proud woman should be pleased on seeing her lover offering pleasing words and gifts, rejecting others, putting his hand on his head, bowing down, lamenting. This is the perfection of prema rasa. That may be so. But a woman with real love should lament in her mind on seeing her lover fall at her feet. Oh, Radha does not even move an eyebrow. How can she possess a trace of prema? That there may not even be any prema. Nasuna replies to Chandrali, if that is so, then why does your lover Krishna go again and again to Radha by his own will if she's devoid of prema? If he prefers her, then why don't you fill with prema hate her? He goes to Radha in order to make her attain good qualities by his personal teaching and just to give her pleasure from amorous play. But since her nature is determined by fate, she can never have a good character. What happiness can he then derive from her amorous pleasure when she's so contaminated? Considering all this, I hate her. In this way, Chandrali reveals her own realization of Ras to her Sakhi. Two leaders of the Sakhis having completely the same types and amounts of love is almost impossible, says Rupa Goswami. Without some difference between Sakhi's love, there would not be different group leaders at all. Having exactly the same type of love is a cause of extreme affection between two persons. And that extreme affection causes them to stay together, continually giving bliss to each other. So now Vishnu summarizes this chapter number 9. Among the billions of gopis, the chief among those with pure grita sneha is Chandravali. Her friends are Padma, Shaivya, and others. Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, and others in the group have hatred for them and not to others, since there is not such extreme difference to other groups. Similarly, Chandravali, Padma, and her others of her group have hatred for Radha and her group. They have pure Madhusneha. They do not have such hatred of others. Radha and her group of Sakis have friendship with many other group leaders with impure Madhusneha, such as Shama and Mangala. Chandravali and her group regard them as neutral party because of their being impure, having varieties a little, very little, extremely little Kritasneha. Chandravali and her group regard Bhajan and others as friendly groups. This is how one should understand different types of groups. Those with the same type of love belong to one's own group. The opposing group consists of one group leader and many followers of a similar nature. There are many friendly and neutral groups with many leaders. So this concludes the chapter about leaders. They hate each other, envy each other. It's all nourished to rust. And Krishna's pleasure is the bottom line. We'll start chapter 10. This is Udipans, which means excitements and stimulants for rust. Next time. Ujjalani Lamani Ki Jai. Jai Jai Radhe. Jai Jai Shyam. Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan. Pavana Radhe Te Rana. Pavana Shri Vrindavan.